What is up, everyone? Happy November 1st. Hope everyone had a great Halloween, a nice spooky end to the month. Cavs had a kind of a spooky weekend. We're going to talk about the Cavs-Lakers game, the Cavs-Suns game, and talk about Monday's rematch, the second time they'll play the Charlotte Hornets this year. Plus, we'll talk about the Cavs announcing that they've picked up options for several key young players. That's all coming up today on Locked On Cavs, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And look, thanks again, as always, for making Locked On Cavs your first listen every day. Remember, we are free and available on all platforms. So tell your friends, do us a solid, and hit that subscribe button on YouTube.
You are Locked On Cavs, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Evan, before we get into these games, favorite Halloween candy?
Oh, golly. Sour Patch Kids, specifically Sour Patch Watermelons, are really good. I know Kevin loved Diss Reese's Pieces, but I like Reese's Pieces. Then peanut butter and M&M's probably to wrap out my top three. How about you?
Peanut M&M's.
Peanut or peanut butter?
Peanut. Okay. I like a nice crunch. Reese's. I think Reese's is just iconic. Iconic candy, particularly a nice frozen Reese's. Ooh, put it in the freezer for a little bit.
You're speaking my language. I love me a good frozen Reese's.
And you know what? Maybe a controversial take. I like a Three Musketeers.
Three Musketeers slap, man. I don't really think there's such a thing as bad. Well, that's not true. Necco wafers are pretty gross, but most candy's good candy. Like, to be a kid going trick-or-treating, it felt weird this year, man. Like, maybe it's being an adult. Maybe it's not having kids myself. Like, I'm looking at my friends. Like, Trevor Magnotti dressed up his baby as a spider, which is fitting because he has terrifying tarantulas. I just
wait. Did you see the person who dressed up their dog and as a big spider and was like using it to like pull pranks on people? They like at one point were like laid down in an elevator with their dog in like a gigantic spider costume, and then people opened the elevator and the person was laying on the ground and the people freaked out because looked like a spider was like
eating him,
eating this person. Yeah, it was absolutely terrifying.
Literally my worst fear realized. Yeah. But like Halloween just felt like another day to me this year, and it's like one of my favorite holidays. I was excited for it. I'm sure. Those who watch the show see my pumpkins in the corner. Those, and like I have a ghost in the other corner. Like Halloween is a state of mind, but it's hard to believe November's here. As the Gorillas once said, November has come, and the Cavs with the reality's kicking in too.
Yeah, interesting weekend for them. Obviously, two losses, now 3-4 on the year. Still, I think, you know, probably more wins than we might have thought they would get.
Of the Cavs having as many wins as the Browns really went up in smoke Saturday night.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. You stirring the pot did not end up. You stirred something.
I'll give my reasoning at the end of the show on that. Give me like 2 minutes and I'll explain my logic behind it.
Yeah, well, so this weekend, I guess, I think we're not going to do our normal awards just because we're going to, on the week coming off the weekends, we're never going to necessarily do the awards weeknight. I think we will. But do you have things you want to hit on from the weekend? Obviously, the Lakers game, they lose. Suns game was a little less competitive, but they also lost.
Well, the Suns game was competitive through the first quarter or so. And then it kind of.
Yeah.
It became evident that they were playing a team that was just in the NBA Finals. You and I talked about Mikal Bridges and CP3 on the smaller backcourt. That became a problem. Devin Booker was a bit of an issue. DeAndre Ayton just kind of ate Evan Mobley and Jared Allen alive. And it just became clear that the Cavs played very hard against the Lakers on Friday night, and they were just gassed on Saturday night. And, like, people were doom and gloom about everything, but I'm just like, I didn't expect them to win this game. And it is what it is. It's really easy to get emotionally caught up on this. Maybe I blame Chris again for this. But I kind of penciled this one in as a loss, even when the schedule was first announced, so I wasn't too shocked to see, like, just given the circumstances. But I have a few takeaways, but I want to hear what you have to say first.
So the Suns one, for sure, to me, was just like, okay, like, I think the first actual bad game of Mobley's professional career. Looked a little tired, got beat up a little bit. 21 minutes, 2 points, 4 assists, 1 of 6 from the field, 4 rebounds, had 0 blocks, 0 steals. Don't think we're going to be saying that very much. I think the Ayton call you made was exactly right. I also just think, like, look, the Suns had been off for 2 days prior to that game, and the Cavs had just played a back-to-back the night before. Like, just the schedule sets up for you to be in a really tricky situation for them. Like, when we get to the Hornets game, one of the things about that game that's interesting is the Cavs have a day off, but they're coming across the country while the Hornets are going to be at home, but they're playing tonight right now against the Portland Trail Blazers, who the Cavs will then see in Cleveland on Wednesday. So, like, one of these kind of, like, funny little things. I just think, for me, this is a weekend that, If you're trying to stay level-headed about an 82-game season, about a very young team that obviously is down Isaac Okoro, who we'll talk about, and just still kind of figuring out itself out in some ways, even if it has had some successful wins and maybe been better than we thought. Like, this is – and Ricky Rubio talked about this Friday after they lost to the Lakers. It's like, look, you're not going to be perfect every game. You're not going to be perfect and have this maximum kind of quality for 48 minutes every single night. Like, I think you're just in a situation where – it's an 82-game season. You still have a younger team. You have a team figuring itself out. You have Evan Mobley, who is going through this for the first time. And, like, even if he played a lot of games, like, guys come up and they play AAU, they'll play a ton in a weekend. These guys are in good shape. Like, Evan Mobley counts as, like, in good shape. But it's just, like, there's a different – it hits different, as the kids say, when you get to that 82-game season and it's just a level up in your conditioning and your competitive level, and it takes you time to, like, get your legs fully under you. So to me, it's just like, I look at this weekend and it's like, yeah, this makes sense to me that it plays out this way.
Yeah, I'm not too shocked. I guess that's just what I'll say. Like, it's unfortunate. I know people are, like, now bitching and complaining a little bit that it's unfair the NBA scheduled it this way. Like, it is what it is.
But every team has a stretch in the season where it's just like, it you're unfair. Slogging. And it's just hard to navigate. Like, Baxter Holmes from ESPN a couple years ago did a whole series that, like, kind of talking to, like, sleep scientists and, like, scheduling out, like, basically, like, you can kind of predict, like, schedule losses and stuff. And, like, yep. That's an excuse. Teams will never use that as, like, a, you know what, like, just the reality of the schedule is why we lost tonight. Like, no one's ever going to, like, say that. But it's a part of navigating of a long grind 82-game season. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why a lot of people, including myself, would, like, kind of like to see, like, a 72-game schedule where guys are more rested, yep. But, like, TV money and stuff.
Yeah, it's really tough. And the problem is, I don't think this is going to be Cleveland's toughest road trip. Like, it starts Friday, January 7th. They are in Portland. Then 2 nights later, they're in Golden State. Then the following night, they're in Sacramento. Then 2 days later, they're in Utah. Then 2 days after that, they're in San Antonio. Then the following night, they're in Oklahoma City. Then 2 nights after that, they are home against Brooklyn. And then 2 days after that, they go out against Chicago. And then they have a little bit of a home stretch after that. Like, that's tough. That's a tough ask of a very young team. And like Chris said, this is a young team. Like, been kind of preaching this for a while. Like, I'm excited about Evan Mobley. I'm excited about seeing, like, some of this fun stuff. But Ricky Rubio said it. Kobe Altman said it. J.B. Bickerstaff said it. Kevin Love said it. Even Jared Allen said it. Like, this team's done a lot of losing. They have to learn how to win. And I also told Chris, like, the Cavs haven't really faced adversity up to this point. And there's a point I want to touch on in the next segment. I know we have to take a break for ads soon here, but this is, like, their first test, I guess. They have to see how they bounce back against a Charlotte team coming off a back-to-back, but it's a pretty good Hornets team. Like, Charlotte has – they think they've lost to Miami, and I think that's their only loss so far this season. I don't know how they're doing against Portland right now. Oh, no, they've lost 2 games. They lost to Boston. They got crushed by Miami on Friday night. So
yeah, and there was a LaMelo stinker, I believe, against Boston, yep. Where he wasn't in late in that game. He did not play very well. And they're tied 74-all against Portland now in the third quarter.
So the Hornets are a pretty good team, but this is a good test for the Cavs. See, can they take advantage of the situation? Because this is another young team that they're going up against. Woo. Can they hang with these teams that'll be flirting with the bottom seeds in the play-in, and especially one that's coming off a back-to-back? Like, these games will be a little bit more critical than losing to Phoenix on a Saturday night after coming off a game against the Lakers.
And I got to say, I know people, I when I made the mistake of looking at Twitter for a little bit on Saturday during the Suns game, people were very mad about Lamar Stevens. Here's just what I'll remind people about this, about the wing situation. And this was a little bit true Friday as well. And Jetty, salute to Jetty at 20 points on Saturday, like shot the three well, like at least from a volume standpoint, like played well. The thing about the Cavs wing situation is that this is part of finding one on the cheap. You're going to have some lumps. You're going to have warts with guys like someone who's like a really good scrap heap find, and scrap heap's maybe the wrong word, but like think about like DeShaun Tate, really good wing find for Houston, good player. Like you're going to have ups and downs with that level of guy. Like it's just the reality of it. And they're going to be frustrating sometimes when you're invested in online and in a game to game basis. But like, that's part of trying to find someone. I obviously think Lamar's offense has never been something that has been particularly strong, but I think you can understand how you kind of why he intrigues people, even if, again, like I get if you're like a day-to-day a diehard fan, why like that can be a very frustrating experience. Any other kind of notebook things you want to dump out before we take a break?
Jason Lloyd said, why did Colin Sexton not receive a contract extension? The Cavs determined who they wanted to see how he fit alongside Evan Mobley. I don't know if there's a lot of truth to that. I just think it just kind of came down to money, because I think the Cavs clearly want Colin here. They wouldn't shoot themselves in the foot. But
yeah, I think at least defensively, Evan Mobley is a guy that can like make things more palatable in some ways. Like the way he's played, it's like he makes like a smaller backcourt like theoretically actually work better. Yeah, in some ways.
That theoretically they are copying the Jazz a little bit, who the Jazz have a smaller backcourt, but they surround those two players with a ton of size, and Gobert, Bogdanovich, and Ingles, and they also like sprinkle and like Royce O'Neal as well. So like they have bigger options alongside them, but it's still a work in progress. Evan Mobley's 19 years old. We can't figure it out too much or freak out about it too much. But thankfully, people won't be calling for J.B. Bickerstaff's job after this one, Chris. And he will not have to use today's sponsor, Indeed. Why don't you tell me about him?
Yeah, look, our friends at Indeed are the best place. You know, if you're looking to hire, you're looking to get a job, you should check out Indeed. And look, Indeed is a powerful hiring generator for people looking to hire. I know like my day job uses Indeed, and they're incredibly having a lot of success using Indeed. It can be your go-to hiring partner when you want to attract, interview, and hire all in one place. You don't want to struggle to find quality candidates. So use Indeed and help you hire the right people right now. They partner with you on every step of the hiring process. You can find talent with the skills you need to through tools like Indeed Match, assessments, and virtual interviews. And look, if you sponsor a post with Indeed Match, you get a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description, and you can even invite them to apply right away. So go right now and get a $75 sponsored job credit when you upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/LockedOn. Look, get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/LockedOn. That is Indeed.com/LockedOn. That is offer valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Today's episode of Locked On Cavs is also sponsored by DirecTV. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch a game live, another lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friends log in for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings you your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so that you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package.
All right, Evan. So the Cavs announced on Saturday. Shouts to you for having this, because I just missed this somehow. I have a lot of unread emails right now, and that might explain how I missed this. So
it's all good.
Above 1,000 unread emails right now. Just a lot of junk, but just not my best with my email right now. But Cavs picked up options. Fourth-year options for Darius Garland and Dylan Windler, not Ricky Rubio, who's been in the NBA much longer than 4 years. And then third-year options for this would be 2022-2023 mm-hmm. for Isaac Okoro. Not a surprise, I think, on Garland, obviously. I think our understanding of him is that the Cavs view him as very much a long-term piece. Okoro, obviously, I think a no-brainer. I think over the weekend we could argue that they definitely missed him and they missed his presence as a defender and a guy that, you know, even if he's not a shooter, is going to provide a little more on the offensive end that maybe Lamar right now. Windler is just an interesting one because he is.
Is it though?
It's just interesting. It's not interesting they didn't pick it up. It's still just like, all right, Dylan Windler, like is already, like, next year will be his, like, fourth NBA season. Like, that's just, like, weird considering, like, it's just, like, I feel like we've seen him on the floor for, like, that long.
Yeah, it's, there's a lot of uncertainty on what Dylan Windler actually is still. He is healthy by all accounts. He's not listed on the injury report for tomorrow's game against Charlotte. Isaac Okoro and Kevin Pangos being the two key ones. Pangos is away for personal. Okoro's away or out because of his hamstring issue for the fourth game in a row. But, like, Windler can't crack the rotation. I think JV is a big proponent of saying they're going to bring him along slowly. They want him to feel fully comfortable in his body before maybe they start giving him more burn. Maybe he gets at, like, 9th, 10th man minutes in the rotation because, for now at least, like, to jump back to your point, like, you are looking at cheap – or looking at – bargain wings on the cheap, like Lamar Stevens, even Denzel Valentine, and like Lamar Stevens is the best defensive option for the Cavs and the one JV is the most comfortable with. So maybe eventually when Dylan's a little fully healthier, he's in full game shape at that point, they cede some of Lamar's minutes to Dylan and while Isaac is out, but we'll see. Maybe they need to have Isaac be evaluated back in Cleveland and he'll give a run again Wednesday against Portland, so we'll see there. But I guess more than anything, now that he's on the books, he's just a trade asset, I guess I could say. Like, you could kind of bundle him in a deal. Maybe if he gets something else, you include him some picks, a grease a wheel or something on a trade. I think Dylan Windler still has intrigue. I just, again, you shouldn't pencil him in as like part of Cleveland's long-term plans going forward. I think that ship has sailed. You try to see how much value you can recoup from this asset that you spent. I mean, let's be frank here. It's a 26 overall pick from the 2019 NBA draft. It's not a huge loss if he doesn't provide meaningful minutes for the Cavs. It's frustrating, sure, but you figure out what you have here. Maybe you recoup some of your loss. You try and trade him for something else. Or if he can stay healthy and he can provide some shooting and some slashing and some defense and rebounding, like the four things Dylan Windler's good at, the Cavs get something for that. And that's not a terrible thing. Like, I wasn't surprised when I saw that. I think I would have been like, okay, maybe there's something here that they didn't pick it up. Like, the Cavs really don't believe has a future in the NBA. But I think the Cavs, you wonder, because Dylan's mental state is a little fragile too. I'm sure with just the injuries keep coming and coming. If the Cavs didn't pick this up, like, how devastating would that be for him? Like, would he be able to finally put it back together? Or say, like, the Cavs, like, okay, we still believe in you, but you need to go out and prove it.
Yeah, I think he's in a situation. I mean, I think if you, like, to empathize with him, I think you're looking at a guy who, like, has been, you know, like, played 4 years of college, was, you know, a high school player, like, has been around basketball, like, you know, I'm sure as long as he can remember, and it's just like, I don't get to play basketball right now because of injury. It's just, like, this very bizarre thing. I think I would put him... I think I'd want to see him with the Cleveland Charge.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I think
him down there.
Look, unless you have like an injury situation with, you know, maybe Okoro's out like longer than you would like, and all this stuff, right? Like maybe like this kind of drags on in a way, and like he's going to obviously, as you alluded to, or as you said, directly going to miss his fourth straight game with a hamstring injury. Also, did like him just showing up to the Kevin Love press conference and just like looking like a total nut,
and like very Myers, into Isaac, like, in
just
character,
just like. Yeah, just like Isaac being like, yeah, Isaac's a character.
Is it cooler than Myles Garrett showing up as the Grim Reaper and wearing a cape with all the quarterbacks he sacked?
Oh, I think that is like completely like LeBron level corny, and I also love
it.
I loved it
too. I was just like, that's funny. But
yeah,
I think Isaac committing to a bit fully is even funnier because, I mean, Rafa, they're on the team bus and he was sitting at the very back of the bus and he refused to get off at first. He just stood there like sat there menacingly, and the Rafa took a quick picture of him.
Yes, he's Isaac. Also, Evan knows I can't even say because it was something I learned at Summer League about his fashion choices, and it just blew my mind. And I haven't stopped thinking about it since. I think a Cleveland Charleston might be good for Dylan.
Yeah, it is.
Just to like play five games in Cleveland with the Charge. It's the same sets. It's a coach he knows, right? Like, it's a little different than it would have been even last year. And this isn't a shot at Ranking, who like I like is Al Khan's like a really good coach, a solid assistant. But like Dylan has known Dan Giroux for a couple of years now. Like, there's probably some comfort there. you know, like it's guys that he necessarily hasn't necessarily played with it in some of those positions, but like, you know, they have some guys he's familiar with. The system will be familiar. Like they you know, when he first came back before he went on the shelf again, like they did send him down to Canton. I think it can make some sense. Like, I also think, like, I don't know why this isn't the case to some degree. And basketball is obviously a little bit structurally different than baseball, but like, I think rehab assignments could be really, really good for guys.
Oh, for sure.
This is obviously a little bit different, but it's just like, send him down, get him some game reps, and then like, I think at some point, like, just to see it. I don't really know what the Cavs would have to lose.
I mean,
in the grand scheme of things, just to like give him like a 10-game run as a backup three, just to see what happens.
Yeah, that's true. And to your point about rehabbing with the Charge, I mean, Cade Cunningham rehabbed with the Motor City Cruise.
Yeah, well,
just
guys, even take it a step further. Like, I want to, like, it's
like Isaiah
I think
Thomas
it, like,
did
rad,
the same
I
thing with the Cavs. He rehabbed with the Charge for a little bit.
Yeah, but I mean, like, in baseball, I think it's rad that, like if, like, there's a Cleveland Guardians player, like, let's say Jose Ramirez is coming back from, like,
the name after,
like,
the lawsuit.
Yeah, whatever. Shane Bieber has...
It's cool.
If Shane Bieber has, like, an arm issue, you may be able to catch him pitching for the Akron Rubber Ducks on a Saturday as he comes back. Like, that's cool. That's cool to me.
Some of my fondest baseball memories were going to Akron Arrows / Rubber Ducks games and watch a scene like Travis Hafner would be rehabbed, because Travis Hafner got hurt all the time. Mm-hmm. He rehabbed down in Akron a lot.
Pronk.
And then we would just, like, you could, like, buy tickets on the cheap, sit right behind, like, the opposing team's dugout or the home team's dugout. Like, not Jose Ramirez, a couple other, like, notable players in that World Series run for the Indians, like, were in Akron at the time. And it's fun, man. Like, The Charge, I think, are going to be fun. I think I've been kind of watching them closely. They're getting ready to go soon in November. So, like, I'm interested to see how Taco looks. Like, Taco already has plenty of market appeal for the Charge. But if you send, like, down Dylan Windler, and Dylan Windler kind of, like, plays like a gangbuster, like, why not go check it out? You can get some cheap tickets, watch some fun basketball. Basketball in its purest form, as Dan Giroux told me. So, why not? And I agree. Send him down to Canton or Cleveland, excuse me. Put in the swear jar for him. But let him rehab down there a little bit. And then, like you said, if he's fully healthy, looks fully good to go, is back in shape, why not roll him out as the backup three? Because Lamar Stevens ain't it.
Well, like, I think all these guys have worked. I think Lamar, like, in theory, like, could be it. And Dylan, like, in theory, could be it. And Jetty, in theory, could be it. I think we just don't know anything.
There's not a clear horse in this race that's winning.
No, and it's like Lamar can have, like, one game where, like, you could be like, oh, like, he's played really well, and then another game where he just, like he was absolutely, like, awful. Like, it's just, that's where we're at. But Dylan would be fun to see if he could get it. Like, I don't really have interest in, like, Denzel Valentine for those minutes, but I think
I do if they play the Bulls. That's all I care about. In Chicago.
Just
to be specific.
Just for the
culture.
For the homecoming factor. Yeah. That's I love a bit. I do love a nice bit. But Evan, we're gonna take one more break, come back, talk about the Hornets game. I got some notes because I went back and watched some tape on Miles Bridges from game one. I'm gonna dump some things out of my notebook, or it's really my yellow legal pad. But first, I gotta tell everyone about our friends at Built Bar. And look, Built Bar, as everyone knows, best tasting protein bar on the market. They had the pumpkin puffs that you should have gotten. They had the blueberry muffin, cookie dough chunk. There's so many great flavors. You can't really go wrong. Cookies and cream is one. Mint brownie is another. Cherry Barcia. There's a ton of great ones. They drop new ones all the time. And look, if you haven't tried all the flavors, go get a mix box. You get two of each of the 9 flavors in that box. You get to try them all and find out which ones you're going to end up buying in bulk when you fall in love. But look, 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, only 4 to 5 grams of sugar, and only 4 to 5 grams of net carbohydrates. These are all amazing flavors. They're all tasty, and they're all healthy. So order today and get that mix box if you want to try them all. Get that cookies and cream. Get that cookie dough chunk if they still have it, or that blueberry muffin if they still have it too. And remember, Built Bar is the official protein bar of the United States track and field team. Isn't that neat? So you go to, and NASCAR. Don't forget NASCAR. And go to Built.com and use promo code LOCKED15. And you'll get 15% off your order. Again, the promo code is LOCKED15. That is all one word, LOCKED15, for 50% off at Built.com. All right, Evan. So here's a couple things as we go to Cavs Hornets, Volume 2. Can't believe I'm going to say this, but sneakily a potentially important playoff implication game.
Yeah.
Based on the Cavs, it's just one of those things where, like, if they go down 0-2 to Charlotte, like, that tiebreaker potentially becomes notable 9 months from now. Uh-huh. In case people forgot, Cavs lost the first matchup between these two teams, 123-112. Miles Bridges had a 30-point game when he was 13-24 overall and 4-9 from three. He was 9-15 on 2-point field goals. Cavs in this game, 9-31 from three, 13-32 for Charlotte. Here is, Evan, what I went back and watched. And I want you back and watch Miles Bridges because he had a 30-point game. It was guarded by Evan Mobley. Here's what I found in rewatching. So he had one catch and shoot three in the corner over Evan Mobley. Just made a tough shot over him. Mobley closed out on him. Just a nice shot making by him. He had an offensive rebound after Mobley contested a guy on the other side of the rim, and he cleaned up the miss and got a dunk. Just good on him in that situation. He had another where Mobley, Jared Allen had switched onto a guard, I believe Ish Smith, got beat off the dribble. Mobley came over to help, and Bridges kind of slid in with a little slip cut, got the ball dunked 2 points easy. The positive here is that, when Bridges was attacking an ISO or doing a quick post-up or whatever, his best moments came when Kevin Love was guarding him. And he was 1 of 4 against Evan Mobley in isolation. And three of them, Mobley just kind of like made him take like a really, really hard shot. And then the fourth time when he scored, it was still a hard shot, but it was like slightly less hard. And Bridges just made a really tough shot. He had a really good game. I think there is reason to me when I think about this. And if you're looking at, okay, what can the Cavs course correct from game one? What can they kind of bank on maybe being better the second time around? I kind of wonder if it's just like Miles Bridges probably isn't going to score 30 points again because Evan Mobley is going to like probably do as good of a job on him as he did the first time around.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. It's a good test for Mobley too, because I was reading the Jason Lloyd thing a little bit more, and he was talking about the Colin Sexton fit, and I am too of the advocate maybe saying like, okay, maybe Mobley spends more time defending Mobley spends more time defending threes and is more of a wing defender. Like Miles Bridges is a bit of a tweener. He's a 4-3-4 for the Hornets, and I think it's a good test for him, and I think the Cavs are really going to prioritize focusing on him. I think throwing Lamar Stevens on Miles Bridges won't be a bad thing. I think the lack of Isaac Okoro is really going to hurt the Cavs in this one, because it's become increasingly clear, especially when they played the Lakers and the Suns, that the lack of Isaac Okoro is just, it's tough because, yeah, you get similar, not the same defensive input, but pretty similar-ish results. It's like the diet version of Isaac Okoro's defense that Lamar Stevens provides, but it's going to be interesting how they defend Bridges, and I agree, I just don't think he's going to have the same performance that he did like in the first game against the Cavs, because let's be frank, he got NBA Player of the Week because he annihilated the Cavs and then took that hot streak and continued to play well, but like the Cavs were a good launching point for Miles Bridges, and like I'm a big Miles Bridges fan. I think he's a fun player. I thought he was attainable for the Cavs a little while ago when he was kind of struggling for Charlotte, but he's really bounced back. He's played really well for them. I don't think he signed an extension with Charlotte, if I remember correctly.
Mark Stein reported him as a 4-year, $60 million was the offer. That ain't it. That ain't enough for my guy, Miles.
No,
that
it's not. Continues this season where like he plays really well, like he could play himself into a pretty good contract with either Charlotte or another team that signs him. Who knows? But I just don't think he's going to have the same results. I'm just more so curious, like, how's LaMelo Ball going to perform? Is the Gordon Hayward factor? Like, the Hornets are a pretty fun team on paper. It's just getting these pieces to work a little bit. Like, they have some youth and experience, but I think they have veterans at more key positions versus the Cavs. Like, I think having Gordon Hayward at the three, which is in a paramount position in the NBA, like, Gordon Hayward's also bet on himself going to Charlotte and saying, like, listen, I'm still an all-star caliber player. I don't think he's at that point anymore, but he's pretty damn good for the Hornets. So I don't think the Cavs are going to win this one, and I'm intrigued to see, now that I'm a little more plugged in and not enjoying my weekend, that I'll see how sky's falling some of the fans are being and how people are tweeting through their feelings a little bit.
Yeah, just
Twitter, I don't Twitter engage. I just I quietly observe chuckle to the Sexton terrorists and then move on with
there was the engagement on Spencer Dinwiddie, and then we moved on, and then it's just like, all right, Twitter is a stupid website where like no one is going to say anything productive.
No one, everyone missed my point on that. I'm not saying Darius Garland is Spencer Dinwiddie. He's not 6'5". He doesn't have the defensive chops. Darius is a better shooter. He has theoretical gravity. He does not have the rim pressure Spencer Dinwiddie does.
Is Darius into crypto with Spencer Dinwiddie? Who knows?
No, he's not. I'm just saying Darius is showing some of the concerns I had last year still. He's still ironing them out. He's a little gun-shy is my problem still.
Well, the one thing I guess we didn't mention from the weekend that I thought I maybe was fun was the 3 of 9 from three against the Lakers. Yeah. I was a little like, oh.
Yeah, he was bombing. I tweeted it, and then he was bombing against the Lakers. I'm just like, fuck me. If they win this game, people are going to roast me for it. And then they lost, so I was okay. And then the Suns, he laid a goose egg, which is fine. It's okay.
Yeah. No one played well.
No one played well against the Suns, except Jetty Osman, because that's the Jetty Osman experience, folks. He has good games and bad, and when the rest of the team's struggling. So,
yeah,
and like Kevin Love bounced back against the Lakers, but I'm just saying, like, there could be a reality where maybe we were a little too high on Darius's supply, and I'm just trying to bring people back down and saying, like, listen, if you get a Spencer Dinwiddie level player, or you get like a completely average point guard, would you be disappointed? And one person's like, yeah, that's pretty disappointing. I'm like, that's just the answer I want. I agree. But I'm starting to think, like, maybe Darius isn't going to play through his wrinkles a little bit. And, like, one of our listeners pointed out, Mike Villa, I wouldn't pay him top dollar either, but that's just a conversation we'll have at the end of the year. But it's in the back of my mind. My time at Forbes has broken me a little bit, where I'm constantly thinking about how much money a player is going to make. And like the Jared Allen extension, we were spot on that one. We read that one a mile away. 100 mil, baby.
Yeah, I guess with Darius, I just with all of this, with Sexton, with Okoro, I mean, even with Markkanen, I think all of this is like, there's just a lot of this being figured out as we go. Yeah. I think there's just so much of like, this is going to have to gel and take time to kind of grow into whatever it's going to be.
Are you worried about Colin Sexton's lack of touches? Do you think JB is intentionally phasing?
No,
I don't. I think it's a good thing for the offense.
I think he's been really effective in what he's been doing. And I think it's a really smart thing. I think when Colin Sexton in the season has been on the move, it has been some of the most effective basketball he's played. Yep. When we saw him, I want to say this would have been the Hawks game, when he loaded up and like they ran an ISO with him at the end of the quarter and he just wasted time. Like the defense just like ate it up. Uh-huh. And like there's times where he's going to make stuff out of that, but it's really hard to do that. And when he's been cutting and moving and getting threes off the ball and all that stuff, like it's been just a more effective Colin Sexton. So like that is something I am all in on. This is just going to be an ongoing thing. I think, you know, Charlotte right now is up by 5 over Portland, as people can, or up by 8 now.
I've